Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted we have this time together this morning to study the divine revelation. If you'll be taking your Bible and turning to 2 Samuel chapter 21 and put your finger there and then turn to John 19, we'll be reading from those two passages in just a moment of time. 2 Samuel 21 and John 19. We're delighted that we have this medium where we can study once again this Lord's Day morning. And we're thankful that you've tuned in and that you've got your Bible and you're ready to learn more about the will of God. We're mindful of those who are dealing with sickness and are some who are on a chronic level, dealing with different ailments, and we want you to know that you're in our thoughts and prayers. And some have been seriously diagnosed with things, and we want you to know that we're thinking about you and you're in our hearts and in our thoughts. We want to thank Brother Guy for all the hard work that he does. He does a lot of good work for the congregation at O'Neill. He's diligent about getting the call tree out, and he and Sister Ann have done so much over their time here at O'Neill. We ask that you remember them in your prayers, and I know you look forward to hearing him preach once again. He does such an outstanding job. Ask that you remember the elders in your prayers. They have some decisions they're going to have to make, and we ask that you continue to think about them as they oversee the souls and the congregation here at O'Neill, as their concern is to help us get to heaven. And we want to pray for them and their oversight of this local flock. If you have your Bible, in 2 Samuel 21, I want you to read with me one verse for the thought of our study, and that's in verse 10. And notice the divine word talks about Rizpah. And notice the Bible says in verse 10 that she took sackcloth and spread it for herself on the rock from the beginning of harvest until the late rains poured on them from heaven, and she did not allow the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beast of the field by night. Now notice that name identified as Rizpah, and we'll come back to her in just a moment in our study. Then take your Bible and turn to the Gospel of John and the 19th chapter. And when you come to the book of John and the 19th chapter, you'll find Jesus is upon the cross of Calvary. And if you will, drop down to verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. I'm sure on Mother's Day, it's in the mind of most of us, the love of our mother. Not everybody's been blessed with a godly mother, and not everyone has a mother that shows them true love. And I feel sorry for individuals who've grown up not knowing the love of a mother, and they weigh heavy on my heart. But I'm also mindful of those who've been blessed with a godly mother, one who tried to bring them up with knowledge of the Lord, to bring them up knowing God, and to teach them the way that is right. We often think about a mother, and perhaps when you were young, your memory goes back to when you got home from school, and I remember my mother sometimes sitting on the porch waiting for me to get home. And we think about when you're hurt, you don't normally go to your father when you're hurt, you go to your mother. You remember when Elisha had blessed that Shunammite woman with a child, and the child cried out, "My head, my head." What does the father say? Carry him to his mother. And you think about that a mother's kiss can heal a wound. And there's something about a mother that when she puts her tongue and to that thumb, she can wipe off mud, she can wipe off rust off a bumper, she can just seem to clean the face of a child with just one lick. But I want you to think about when a mother's love is tried. And in the two readings I just read in your hearing, we find Rizpah and we find Mary, and we find that they're in similar situations. We find that both mothers had climbed a hill. And we find where both mothers are watching their son at this particular time endure trial. Rizpah has two sons enduring a trial, and Mary is looking upon Jesus. And I want us to look at these two sad scenes and see a picture of a mother's love. I want to talk about a mother's love seen from two hillsides. The first hillside I want us to go back and examine is in 2 Samuel 21. And we'll read in 2 Samuel 21 where there's a famine in the land. And David was king at that particular time. And David inquired of the Lord, why this had occurred to the people at that particular time. Why were the people of God undergoing this famine? And God replied and let David know the reason was because of the things Saul had done to the Gibeonites. That Saul had violated the covenant that Joshua had made with them many years ago, and Saul had sinned against the Gibeonites. So David asked the Gibeonites what can be done to repay them for the evil Saul had done. And the Gibeonites responded, let us have 7 men of Saul's descendants, and we will do with them what we please. And you remember they had said they wouldn't kill him, and they themselves didn't take the sword and kill him. But notice what they do. They hang him up on the hillside. Don't give him food or water, but let the elements of nature kill them. And can you imagine, as they hung those bodies up on the hillside, what it was for those 7 men? But here we read of 2 men whose mother, whose name is Rizpah, went down and noticed that she would not allow the animals to come and to devour her sons. Even after they're dead and their bodies hung on that hill, that mother showed tremendous love by staying there and keeping the birds of the day from devouring the flesh of her children and allowing the beast at night to come. She stood there, the Bible said, and stayed there to protect the bodies. If you go back and look again at what it says in verse 10, it says she stayed from the beginning of harvest until the late rains. They had been dead for a long period of time, and yet she remained, and she would watch the bodies. She had took the sackcloth, had spread it for herself on the rock, and protected those bodies. I want you to think about the love that is demonstrated from Rizpah. Then if you take your Bibles, look at Mary. And think about Mary when they took her son, Jesus. And she knew that he was innocent of every charge the people had brought against him at that time. Here he was, God in the flesh, born of Mary who was a virgin at his birth. And you'll remember that he was one that lived a perfect life, never violating the will of God, never sinning against the Father of heaven. And yet the people rebel against him and want him nailed to the cross. And can you imagine what terrible words it would be for a mother to hear people say, we want him dead. Even if a mother's son is guilty, I stand amazed at how many courtrooms I've seen where everybody in the courtroom is against a man who may have committed a horrendous crime, but you'll see one old lady sometimes sitting right behind him. His mother's there. And I've often thought about a mother's love. But can you picture in your mind the heart of Mary when they took her son who was innocent and they scourged him and they beat him and they mocked him and they put the crown of thorns upon his head and then they nailed him to the cross? Mary stood there, and I've tried to imagine the love that she had. And I've tried to imagine how she felt when she looked upon her son. But that brings up the great thought in our study. What do we see on those two hillsides is a mother's love being put to the test and being tried. I want you to think about that Rizpah at that time did not have any say in what happened to her son. But notice what that woman does. She was not involved in the deeds of Saul, nor were her sons involved in the deeds of Saul. And yet, at this time, they're suffering the consequences of his sin. And it must have seemed so unfair to Rizpah that they would be allowed to take her 2 sons, along with 5 other of Saul's descendants, and just hang them up there to die. And no doubt in her heart, that was injustice. That was unjust of the people of that day. But then, think about Mary's love being tried. You remember, if you studied with us on Wednesday night, we talked about Simeon, when Joseph and Mary had brought Jesus to the temple to be dedicated in Luke 2, that Simeon was there. And he had been told that he would not see death until he saw the salvation of Israel, and he saw it in Christ. And you remember he tells Mary, a soul will pierce your heart. Well, when did that happen? When she saw her son being nailed to a cross. I'm certain both mothers could have thought back when their sons were young. Perhaps Mary could have thought back of Jesus going out and helping Joseph as a lad, out in the carpenter shop. And Rizpah may have had memories of her sons. But now, can you put in your mind the feeling they must have had when they looked up and saw their sons being put to death? But I want you to see, not only do you look at a mother's love being tried, you see the unselfish love of a mother. Rizpah did not ask for anything in return of her sons. They couldn't give her anything. But there she stood, and there she sat, watching her sons, and she was with them to the very end. And look at Mary. What unselfish love to be at the cross. She was not ashamed of her son. All the other disciples had forsaken. John's finally at the cross. Peter's looking from afar. And what does Jesus do? Jesus looks down at Mary. And Jesus' heart is touched. And Jesus looks at John and said, "You behold her. You take care of her. Get her away from this side. And Mary, you look at John as a son. Let him take care of you." Have you ever thought about the unselfish love of a mother? But then think about the undying love of a mother. When I look on those hillsides, I see mothers who deny themselves. Rizpah left her home, journeyed to this barren hillside where the two bodies of her son hanged. And she spread that sackcloth like a tent over them to protect their bodies. And notice again, day and night she protected them so that their bodies would not be desecrated. And you'll remember that David hears about it, and David gives him a proper burial. But I want you to think about that undying love, a mother's great love. But then look at Mary. Can you imagine the danger she faced at the cross? Can you imagine all that she endured? She must have been one who endured a lot, being identified as an adulteress because she gave birth to one not knowing a man, and they accused her of being a fornicator. And here she was who was a righteous person. Now, do not misunderstand me. Do not misrepresent me. She's not what the Catholics say. She was not sinless. She was one who needed the blood of her son just as much as anyone else. And she wasn't the mother of God. She was the mother of Jesus. Jesus has a Father who's eternal. But Mary's not eternal. Mary was human. And Mary didn't understand everything that was going on. There were things that Mary had to figure out as time went on. And you remember that it said that in Luke 2 that Mary kept these things in her heart even when she didn't understand everything. But I think about that undying love. I think about the fact that here was her son insulted, treated like a criminal, and yet she loved on. But that brings up something else. It's heartbreaking to read these accounts and to see their grief. It's heartbreaking to see these two mothers weep and feel helpless as they watch their sons die. But I want you to get in your mind three great facts: that their love was undying, their love was unselfish, and we see their love was tried, but they did not break. I want to take that. I want to make application to our life in the lesson journals. You know, the first thing I want to go back and say is if you have a mother that has shown you love and has brought you up, teaching you right from wrong, you better thank God for such a mother. I've seen children who were neglected, whose mothers would sell them for money, mistreat them. And sometimes we just get in our mind that everyone who's a mother is loving. I'll tell you, that's not true. There's very, very many ungodly women in society who neglect and mistreat and abuse their children. And sometimes when we look at our mother and we have a mother who's trying to do right, we need to thank God for her. And I'll tell you something, my friend. If your mother's a member of the body of Christ and she's serving the Lord, you better thank God twice for her. Many times over, be thankful that she is a child of God. Be thankful every day that she's serving God. That brings up something else. A mother's love is tried in many ways. You ever thought about a mother's love being put to the test? When you have the conduct of your children? Now, when they're little, they'll step on your toes. You got to tell them to pick up their toys. You got to tell them to do their schoolwork. You got to keep on them to do all these things. And you're doing it for their good. And you discipline them, not because you hate them. You discipline them because you love them. I've had some people say, I love my child too much to discipline them. No, you don't love your child too much. You love yourself too much. You don't want to feel the pain of disciplining them, to care for them, to teach them right from wrong, and you're being selfish. A love of a mother that disciplines their child will do so even though it hurts the mother. There have been times I've saw my mother discipline me and she was crying. That's a love. But when they're young and they step on your toes, sometimes as they get older, they'll step on your heart. And sometimes they'll go astray. And sometimes a mother will have to endure many nights worrying about the soul of her child. And then many times mothers worry about how others treat their children. I believe all mothers would agree that their love is often put to the test. It's often tried. They remember the first day they take them down to the school bus and they just hope that everybody treats them good. And when they get home, they're so thrilled to hear about it. And have you ever noticed that when a child gets home, all the mother wants to hear about is the child's day. She never talks about her day. That's a mother's love. I'll never forget. Growing up, there might be one piece of pie left. Mama hadn't had any. But all of a sudden, one of us wants the second piece of pie and Mama's not hungry anymore. That's a mother's love. And many times it's put to the test, but a mother that is made in the image of God and is doing the will of God will conduct herself in a way that gives her love to the child even when it's put to the test. But secondly, a mother today needs to have unselfish love. It needs to be a love that doesn't expect anything in return. But you love because that is a blessing from God that you were given a child to raise and you were given a child entrusted to you to teach them right from wrong. And I'll tell you, the most important thing you'll ever teach your child is to put their faith in God. I don't care if they go to Harvard. I don't care if they go to Oxford. I don't care if they go to Yale. I don't care if they become president. That, my friend, is a mild accomplishment to somebody who teaches their child to be faithful to God. I'm more impressed with a mother that teaches them right from wrong and teaches them what God has said than I am anyone who is trying to get them on the ball team and who's trying to get them on the cheer team and trying to get them on all these things but leaves God out. I'll tell you, that's a selfish love and not an unselfish love. Oftentimes, parents live through their children instead of letting their children see Christ in them. But that brings up a third thought. It's a self-denying love. Ever thought about the sacrifices you make for your children? But you don't think about them that way because you love them. When you love your child, you make sacrifices because you want them to grow up to know God and you're willing to go to great lengths so that their soul is right with God. And I think about the persistent, undying love. It stays beside one even to the end. But I'll tell you something about a mother's love. It can cause grief. When children fail to show respect, when they go out and bring reproach upon the family, I've thought about how many times have I gone to the nursing home and I've seen mothers in wheelchairs and they've not seen their children in a long time. I'll never forget one time I walked in one place and this woman looked up at me and said, "Are you my son?" I've often wondered how long it had been since she'd seen her son. And I said, "No, ma'am, but I'll be your friend." And I'll tell you something, young men and young ladies, you better learn to love your parents back because one day they may be in the nursing home and you need to go see them. And you better love them even to the end because they have shown you great love. And there's nothing worse than an ungrateful child that doesn't reciprocate the love of a parent. Finally, how do you react to a mother's love is one question. But how do you react to God's love is an even greater question. Open your Bible as we close to the Old Testament, to the book of Isaiah and the 66th chapter. in Isaiah 66, you'll remember that there was a great question raised. And the question was raised, will a mother forget her child? And that's not even how it was really raised. If you go back and look at how the question is raised in Isaiah 66:12, you'll see that he wants the mother, he says, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. Have you ever thought about how God comforts his children? It said, can a nursing mother forget her child? And it's yes, but I've not forgotten you. How can a nursing child forget her mother, forget her child? A child will let her know that it's hungry. Her body will let it know the child's hungry. And yet he says, even if a nursing mother forgets you, I will not forget you. Have you ever thought about the amazing love of God? And while Mary was hurt when she looked at Jesus, imagine the Father's pain when he allowed his Son to die for us. I'll tell you something. I don't think I've ever touched the hem of the garment to the love of God. In all my preaching, I don't think I have the ability, the eloquence, the words to express the amazing love of God. And in my weak ability, all I can say is if you imagine the love of a mother, never forget the love of your Heavenly Father. Let us pray. Almighty God, we know that you love us even though we're unlovable at times. And we look out at this wicked world and we are mindful that you've been long-suffering and patient with us. And that your desire is that men would repent and obey your word, that they would be added to your family through baptism, that you would adopt them as your children and that you love them. And you love them even in this place, but you want them to be right with you so that they'll be with you for eternity. And Father, we're mindful of those who've rejected your love. May we say or do something that they would come to you. We're so thankful for godly mothers. We're so thankful for those mothers who are at O'Neill who've raised their children up with the love that they should and with the help of fathers that they've set the right example. And we're so thankful, Father, for a mother's love. This we pray in Jesus' name.